The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Well, sticking with influencers, our next guest has drawn on David Hasselhoff to shape his day job as a comic book writer. With an impressive CV that has seen him draw for global brands such as Transformers and Marvel Comics, Nick Roche is now looking forward to the publication of his own comic, Scarenthood, next month. Nick, you've drawn for Transformers, Spider-Man, Deadpool, all of that. But going back, where did this obsession for comics come from?
I think it kind of grew from TV, probably, because I started to kind of, when, like, in the early 80s, I was interested in things like Knight Rider and the A-Team, like everyone was in the early 80s. And then my mum started buying kind of like magazines like Look In, which would have comic strips about Knight Rider and the A-Team and things like that. And so I think those were kind of like some of my earliest exposures to kind of comics. And I could tell that they were different from storybooks, that, you know, the pictures, you could see the action kind of transitioning from one to the next more so than you could in a storybook. And also the speech balloons, you could see the characters were talking. So I think that was maybe my kind of my gateway into comics and into sequential storytelling.
Well, it's a long way from Knight Rider and the Hoff to Batman and Bane, isn't it?
It is, but there's enough. I mean, yeah, there's enough of a crossover. I mean, in some ways, the Hoff is the greatest hero of any generation, but musically, is he the greatest supervillain? So it's one way to kind of look at it. I think one of my biggest kind of gateways there was because Knight Rider contained a talking car. When Transformers came along, the cars were talking and they could also turn into robots and walk around. And so when I started getting into those comics when I was like 6 or 7, that kind of led me into kind of the world of like comics at large, and that kind of would have led on to like superheroes and things like that. And that's kind of where I ultimately ended up.
And at 6 or 7, obviously would have been your parents buying the comics for you. Was that something that they thought was a good thing? Did they encourage it?
Yeah, very much so. Even though, like, you know, so the comics I mentioned, and they would have been comics that would have reflected, like, you know, brainless action TV shows or ads for toys, which is basically what Transformers, you know, the comics were. They did. And I think because those comics, they didn't talk down to their readers. Like, even the Transformers comics I was reading at like 6 or 7, it was like written by a guy called Simon Furman. And, you know, it could have just been straightforward. This robot dislikes this robot and they turn into cars and fight. But instead, it was all about time travel and temporal paradoxes and causality and mass displacement. And it's like, it was just really kind of interesting stuff. And I definitely learned words and learned more reading comics than, you know, because I think back then there definitely was a sense of like, well, comics will rot your brain sort of thing. But I think my mom and dad, and I think lots of mom and dads of people my age, kind of figured, no, there's something in this, you know.
What did your room look like when you were a teenager? I don't get the impression it was full of posters of football players or anything like that, no.
No, my room as a teenager was very similar to what it was until quite recently, until we had to do a mass clear out. No, it was pullouts from posters from comic books and things, you know, whereas like lots of teenage boys would have been like, you know, possibly having, you know, posters of girls up on their walls. I was having posters of like painted pictures of Wolverine and things like that up, and a giant poster of the Hoff that I'd received when I was 4 years old, so because I was so much into Knight Rider, not the car now, just a giant picture of David Hasselhoff. So no, it was mostly kind of like, yeah, Transformers posters and things like that. And so when I shared a room with my younger brother, he's like 6-7 years younger than me, and when he wanted to start putting up cool posters of like bands and movies and things like that, you know, he still had to contend with, you know, my Ghostbusters posters, you know. But that's not, my Ghostbusters poster isn't coming down. The seniority means that stays up.
Well, the Hoff obviously lasted a long time. Now, at some point then, this is turning into a career. When did you get your first professional break, really?
First professional break would have been about 15 years ago when I was about 25. I was trying to break into comics. It kind of wasn't happening. I'd kind of eschewed going to college when I was 16, when I finished my Leaving Cert, because I was 16 and I just didn't kind of fancy going to college. But also the animation colleges at the time were sort of saying, yeah, you want to do comics, but that's not what we teach here. And I heard that as, if you come here, you can't make comics. Instead of me thinking, well, if I go to animation college, I can use what they teach me and then make comics and also learn to animate and improve my skills. So at 25, I decided to go back to college. And in the meantime, I was working on an indie comic with a friend of mine called Dave Hendrick. He's a Dublin writer. And he and I were going to do an indie comic about like an Irish kind of crime caper indie comic. And around the same time, the American publishing company, IDW, got the rights to the Transformers. And Dave, my friend who I was working with, knew that I was a big, big Transformers fan, knew that I had a portfolio full of Transformers comic book samples. And he passed on my details to IDW because he had contacts there. And I got an email the same day from the editor-in-chief saying, we want you to do some Transformers. And so Dave and I have yet to work together. We will eventually, but it meant that I was kind of in the door with American comics. And even though Transformers isn't, you know, it's not Batman or Watchmen or anything like that, but to me it was, you know, it was my goal. I never thought I would. I kind of thought I did, but also I never really thought it would kind of happen that I'd get to work on something like Transformers, and definitely not as my first go around. So I, as far as I was concerned, I got my dream job straight away with Transformers. And after that, you have to recalibrate what your dreams are then, you know, if you hit the jackpot straight away.
The comic industry worldwide is enormous, isn't it? I mean, not just North America and Europe, but in Asia as well, and the equivalents of it. Does much of that money trickle down to yourself? Do you have a lot of job security, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a weird one. It depends on the job, and it depends on kind of the status of the artist, I think. So, for example, on stuff like Transformers, you know, an artist would get paid a page rate, and that's kind of it then. Whereas, you know, on the Marvel comics they have, and on DC comics they have like a royalty system. So even though you're drawing other people's characters, you know, you're drawing like superheroes, if the comic that you worked on sells well, then you're given a bonus for that. And then that kind of goes on to creator-owned comics, which is kind of the realm I'm kind of entering now with this comic Scarenthood that I have coming up. That it's something that I kind of, it's published by IDW, but it's something that I and my colorist Chris O'Halloran, we own it. And so if that sells well, that all comes to us. You know, obviously the publisher has to be paid for distribution and printing and things like that. But you can do well. Job security is a tricky one. I've been very lucky to have not needed to do other work unless I wanted to. You know, I've done work in animation or maybe some video game stuff here and there. But it never feels like it from 1 month to the next. So as a project ends, even people who have been in the industry 20 and 30 years are still like, oh my God, is this the end? You know, because until you have that thing on your planner, you're not quite certain what project you'll be doing next month. And some months can be quiet and then it's going to be fine again. But it's sometimes really hard to white knuckle those months or 2 months maybe when you're waiting for the next project to start.
Now, this new comic that you have done yourself, Scarenthood, which will be published by IDW Publishing, what's that about? What's the plot?
So Scarenthood is about, it's set in Ireland. It's kind of like a suburban folk horror comedy. And it's about parents of preschoolers who go ghost hunting while their kids are in school. But they've got to be back in time to pick up the kids before lunch. And it's kind of like a cross between kind of Stranger Things and Catastrophe, or what I'd like to describe it as. Like it's imagine the Goonies if they were grown up and had mortgages and panic attacks. And it kind of came from once I started having kids like 7 years ago, and once they started becoming the age where I'd be going to drop them off at like Montessori, that I'm a shut-in. I don't talk to people all day long. And I find that when I'm talking to other parents, I don't have much to say to them, but they don't seem to have much interest to say either. It's a lot of it is about tracker mortgages and, you know, the best places to go to buy your yoga pants. And you're kind of meeting these parents and you're like, oh, I wish we had something more exciting to do. What would be more exciting than, oh, hang on, let's go ghost hunting. And so that's kind of the idea of Scarenthood, the idea of this group of parents, while their kids are away on like a trip to Dublin Zoo, they break into their kids' play school because they've heard of like an old legend of something that's lost underneath the school. And it's tied in with the disappearance of a boy from 40 years ago. And so these kind of parents dare each other to go in. And when they do go into the school, they do something very stupid. And they start a whole world of trouble for themselves and their families and their village.
So basically, while you're having a bit of inane chit-chat outside the school for the drop-off, there's a part of you is thinking, wouldn't it be great if we had a secret life together where we got caught up in some sort of adventures?
100%, Richard. That is exactly it. And the people talking to me are correct in identifying my chit chat as inane as well. And I'm sure they were wishing there was something more exciting. But yeah, it's just that it's that thing of kind of when you first start kind of meeting other parents at the school gate, and it's maybe been a while since you've had to start meeting new people, and it's that thing of you find that your kids are actually better at socializing than you are. You know, your kids are able to sort of like make connections quicker and talk about the things that interest them, and there's just that little reluctance. I think everyone's a little bit kind of gun shy at the school gates to sort of say, hey, do you know what I'd really like to talk about is Dream Transformers, or I'd really like to talk about you know, this, that and the other. And you sort of forget that you had a life and interests kind of before the kids.
Is it a bit risky to set a comic story like that in Ireland? Or is that, or you know, is there an appetite for stories set in Ireland among that sort of comic reading market?
It's a good question, because I kind of thought, coming off Transformers and coming off the Marvel stuff, that when I got given the chance to write my own comic, I really thought it would feature superheroes or robots or spaceships or the sort of thing, you know, visually that people can kind of like latch onto. And, you know, even being honest, maybe if it grew wings, you could sell toys off the back of. I don't know if there's many people looking for action figures of South County Dublin dads with pushing buggies, but maybe there is.
And what about the look visually? I mean, part of the process is, you know, you're in Ireland, it's set in Ireland, you're drawing that. The colouring, then somebody else tends to do the colouring as part of the process. Is there an Irish look that you want to get across?
Yeah, there 100% is. There 100% is. And that's kind of where Chris comes in. So Chris O'Halloran is the colourist on this. He's the co-creator and colourist. And he was essential to it, really. It was really important that I work with an Irish colourist on this, not just because it would be, you know, a job for the boys and stuff. It was just because there's a visual shorthand to Ireland, because there's so many scenes in this where, you know, characters go into something approaching, you know, your nanny's front room, or an abandoned scout hall, or like a kind of like an Irish forest in autumn time. And, you know, this, even the sky is different in Ireland than it is in other countries, you know, like, and it's different from one second to the next. And Chris O'Halloran gives good sky, I have to say. And just all his atmospherics, there's a scene in like a later issue that's kind of set in the Liberties in Dublin. And he just creates, you can feel the fossil fuels in that scene, you know, and it's just so important. Chris is like just world standard. He's like, I've seen Marvel editors' eyes just like light up when I mention his name, because he's so sought after. He's already worked on a horror anthology called Ice Cream Man, and that's doing very well for itself. But he's worked for like every publisher, like Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, IDW, all the big ones.
It's a hell of a professional recommendation. He gives good sky. I haven't heard that one before. Now, you're a father yourself. You've got, what is it, three kids?
Not yet. I've got two with one in the oven. So, and that.
Oh, one on the way,
yeah,
right.
And the next.
And what ages are your kids?
So I've got a 7-year-old daughter and I've got a 5-year-old son. And then we're expecting delivery in the next 5 weeks of the end of the trilogy, is how we're describing it.
Are they into comics?
Yes, they are. They are into comics, kind of, luckily.
Surprise, surprise.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I've often kind of seen like parents who are kind of into sports, and you know, you sort of feel when they put their babies into their county jerseys, I'm like, oh, that's not right. That kid doesn't have a choice in that. And then, you know, I realize my little ones are wearing Avengers tops and Spider-Verse hoodies and things like that. But it's they are. It's just a very appealing world for them, you know, and they're starting to make their own comics as well. You know, they're kind of at the same age, and you sort of see the things clicking with them, that where they can go, oh, hang on, if you add two pictures together side by side, you can see the action move from one to the other. And so they're kind of making little mini comics. It's really interesting to see. They come in and they see me working on Scare and Hood and some of the stuff, because that's the thing about Scare and Hood. It's for grown-ups, you know. It's not for kids. But unfortunately, my kids get to see me make it. But they're able to tell. It's interesting that they, even at the pencil stage, at the sketch stage, they're able to visually figure out, oh, hang on, I can see what's happening here, what's going on here. And also, apart from just being the inspiration from, you know, being kids and that side of it for Scarenthood, they're also contributing artwork to any scenes that have like kids' artwork in the background, like in the Montessori or in the kids' house, or if a kid has to draw a monster in the comic, that's my kids kind of doing it. They haven't figured out that they should be paid for this, but we'll cross that bridge. They can seek emancipation when they're 15. They can do like a Macaulay Culkin on it and take me to court over it.
Well, obviously there's toys and merchandise spin-outs and things like that. We'll have to wait and see if there's a toy of a South County Dublin dad in yoga pants after the success of Scarenthood. Nick Roach, author of Scarenthood, thank you very much for joining us.